It's Monday, and it's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Well, honey, it's Monday morning, of course, time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. It is now the first week of spring in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think that deserves a little more attention because the firsts we just ended up with last week at the end of winter were a seed of new life for us.
Right. So we talk about new life in Christ, and it's appropriate that we do it on this day.
Usually we march right ahead and go on to the next verses from where we left off the week before. But we're going to loop back just two verses and go back to that most important verse that we as Christians believe anchors the entire narrative of salvation, and that is John 3:16. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go back and read that in the Holman Christian Standard we've been using as our baseline translation before we move on and discuss more about what Jesus is really saying about salvation. Now again, we just wrapped up a big introduction to the person of Nicodemus, who is the audience for this essential teaching on faith. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, his ears are the ones hearing the story. It's important to remember that it's to a person that Jesus is saying this. So let's go ahead and read those verses again. And go ahead and finish the rest of that paragraph too when you start.
Okay. John 3:16 through 21. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe in him is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. We read this, and then we see that all of these letters, if you have this kind of scripture, are in red, and that indicates these are the words of Jesus. And he talks about his purpose in coming to earth here, and how he doesn't come to condemn us, but to save us, because the sentence has already been pronounced because of the law.
The accuser's already made his case. Mm-hmm. Humanity is fallen and unredeemable. Why bother? Mm-hmm. But God himself has already set in motion everything he ever intended to not just provide a way of escape, but to truly save. And not just to save from something. You know, a lot of times we hear about the things we escape by being saved. Mm-hmm. Hell, sin, the burden of sin and death. God is saving us to something. Mm-hmm. And that's what most of the stories are we talk about on Compassion Radio. How that saving power, that life, that redemption pays it forward through us to the world and redeems the world, faithful servants. Mm-hmm. And that's the people we're called to be, is people that are of the book, of the word of God, of the man Jesus, who embodied every bit of that. Mm-hmm. Going back to John 1, that he is not just the one who created, he entered into his creation in the way that no one else could, because he wanted to be absolutely one of us, God and man at the same time, which is that great mystery that Christianity has staked its claim on, saying nobody else can claim that God is truly creator and truly man all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we have this great mystery, but we also have this person. Now remember that Jesus is talking again to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has a raft of questions and issues that he wants to work through, and he represents a whole minority of the Sanhedrin who were fundamentalists.
And they're already talking about this Jesus and wanting to ask questions. We talked last week about maybe they drew straws or rock, paper, scissors to see who got to go and speak to Jesus.
Because, or who had to.
Right, because they've been talking about this among themselves, and they had some really great and legitimate questions to ask Jesus. I love how Jesus answers him with questions at the same time, provokes thought in him, and then he's just point blank with him. Listen, I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to bring wrath of God. I came to show love, and I came to redeem. And I think that's something that we need to remember. We need to just really sit in that for a moment, because there's so much condemnation in the world. We do it to ourselves. We do it to others. We look at their actions and judge them. There's a time and a place to call people on the carpet for their behaviors, but I don't think that's what Jesus is doing here.
No.
He's coming to say, hey, I came to save and to redeem and to love this world. And that's what I'm calling you to do as believers.
And he's not using language accidentally here. When he talks about the whole world, he is referring to individuals, to mankind, and to everything he created that man inhabits. He is not saying that these things are bifurcated, that you know, you can destroy the world if you want to, but I'm only interested in saving your soul someplace else where it might be beautiful later. He's saying this is important.
Is the time.
Where you live, in the time you live, while you're still in the body, is just as important to him as anything that might come afterwards. But it's not the only thing. And Jesus makes very clear that he's out to save all of it and to redeem all of it, to renew it, to bring new life and to be that life, the wellspring of that life for all mankind now and forever.
Yeah, I think it's easy for some to see his presence as condemnation. Because even this very passage tells us that the light sent from God pierced through the darkness. And it exposes our deeds. It exposes the things that we do that are evil and with ill motive. You know, it says here in the Voice translation, the light sent from God pierced through the world's darkness to expose ill motives, hatred, gossip, greed, violence, and the like. And some people still prefer the darkness over the light because their actions were dark. So those who have these ulterior motives, like in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying in the temple, and the Pharisee prays that he's glad he's not like this tax collector, but the tax collector is just weeping before God and confessing and just saying, God, thank you for loving me and saving, you know, bringing me out of the darkness. There are those who are the Pharisaical people who don't want to really get close to the light because it exposes them.
That's an important point to list here, because if we look at it strictly from being on the inside and we think about those on the outside, we start thinking about all the sins that might be exposed by the light showing up, their addictions, their whatever, and start pointing fingers at people outside the group. Jesus is very much talking to the group. So the sins that are glaring in his light are the sins of the fundamentalists, the ones that believe that they are more righteous than others, and use their religiosity as a cover for all kinds of self-righteousness.
We're seeing that so prevalent now in the church even. I don't want to be Pharisaical myself and say I have no sin and I'm calling other people out, but I think it's important that the church examines itself to see where are we not allowing the light to shine to expose the deeds that are evil that are happening within the church and within the body. So many people have been hurt by that. So many people have been harmed by the Pharisees in the church who cover up their sin and who cover up and stay away from the light so that it's not exposing the darkness that they are perpetrating on others.
Yeah, that's a heavy statement to say, but it is true that any unconfessed and covered sin is sin not just doubled but squared. And it pays itself down to generations after generation. And it is the kind of stuff that drives people away from the true light, from the gospel, the good news, and makes what was good, bad, or evil in the eyes of those who could be saved by it.
Right.
So we have to be very careful about being self-righteous and saying, well, it's never happened to me. I've never done this.
Exactly.
And we think only about ourselves and remove ourselves from the family. Talk about corporate body issues. What is it to be in the kingdom? It is to be in God's family, and the kingdom of God has a structure. It is an institution. It's not just a bunch of aimless people wandering around trying to be nice. It has a king. And if the kingdom itself is dysfunctional, if it's not following the king and his moral and spiritual leadership, and he no longer has the right to tell us, this is the way we're actually going to do this. This is the way to go. This is the path of righteousness. Follow me. And we're unwilling to do it, then there's a total breakdown in authority and a total breakdown in real transformative power that could really make a difference in the world and in societies and in people's lives.
Yeah. Well, I think he always has the right to tell us those things.
Indeed, he does.
We often rebel against that and go our own way. And we see that in scripture, too. We see that people are going their own way. The rich young ruler knew the truth, but he went his own way sad because he couldn't give up his posh life. We see that in the prodigal son who went his own way, even though the king, his father, had given him everything he needed.
And everything he wanted.
And everything he wanted. Thankfully, we see his repentance in that story as well. But I think we need to translate that into our own body of believers, into our own churches, in our own families and lives, even down to the minutest level of our own selfishness. Where are we not submitting to and obeying the king?
Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom, wherever it is to be found. A quick reminder that it's your generosity and support that make Compassion Radio possible. Especially in a year like this, we need your vote of support. Call 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or give online at CompassionRadio.com in order to keep this program coming to you each day. We have a very special thank you for your generous support to keep this ministry on the air and in the field. It's a fresh take on that amazing story of the life of Jesus, written by the Apostle John. We're calling it the Dynamic Gospel for a lot of reasons, and I'd love to send you one if you ask for it. Just let us know when you contact us today with your gift. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series.
Let's read the Dynamic Gospel now, the same passage of Scripture.
Okay, from John 3:16 and following to verse 21. It's written big now. God loves you, all of you. He's giving you the only son he has so that anyone that looks to him for salvation will get it. No more dying inside or out. Instead, they get real life, for now and forever. God hasn't dispatched his son to crack down on the unruly masses. He sent him so that the saving could begin, day by day, person by person. He's here to save the world. Follow the Son, and there's no fear of judgment and punishment. If you turn away, cringing and refusing to believe, then you've already judged yourselves. You bring down God's wrath on your own heads when you turn your back on God's Son, the only one you'll ever get. And here's what the verdict of the condemned reads. The light came into the world, and the people decided darkness was preferable since it gave cover to their evil ways. Mm-hmm. Their minds thoroughly corrupted. Hating the light came naturally, and they made no effort to approach. They knew full well that their sins would be exposed if they did so. On the other hand, anyone who chooses to walk in the light has absolutely no fear of it. This kind of person is doing God's work in whatever he does, just like the one who knows and lives the truth completely. That's the end of Jesus' sermon to Nicodemus. And again, he's talking to an individual who's seeking, but also to an institution that is very locked into rules and forms and ways of forcing people to behave like they want them to behave, mm-hmm. without any real thought of personal inward transformation. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of lies you can live with while just playing church.
But don't you love it when you know that you're walking in truth? You have that freedom. There's no fear there. There's no condemnation. And you know that you are accepted and you can walk freely. You can speak freely. And you're in right relationship. We have that in personal relationships with people that we know here on earth. We have that with God.
It's more than just walking with our consciences clean. I mean, we can go through a lot of pain in our lives and know that we've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what we're describing here is both knowing that you have no judgment or any condemnation against you, but also walking in somebody, an authority, person you love that blesses you for doing so. Mm-hmm. So you have the benefit of knowing that the one you love, the one you admire the most, is well pleased with you.
Right.
If nobody else in the world understands me, this person does. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of combination of knowing your heart's clean, there's no shame there, but also knowing you're loved. Mm-hmm. When those two things come together, this is the kind of relationship I think that Jesus is trying to get through to mm-hmm. Nicodemus.
Well, it reminds me of a scripture in Psalms that says, I kept on holding on to my sin, and my heart melted within me. But when I confessed, I was forgiven, and God removed the guilt of my sin. The shame was gone. And then again, Paul says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all running through this, we read this, we hear this message I do not condemn you. I love you. There is no shame. Do not fear me. I want to have a relationship with you.
You know, Paul talks about condemnation. He doesn't say who it's coming from. We may hear that there's no condemnation from God when we read that. Paul's saying there's a condemnation, period. Mm. So there's no voices in your head saying, you screwed up, mm-hmm. or you're a total waste. Those voices are liars. And so what Paul is saying, and reiterating what Jesus is saying, is that if God's not saying it, and you're hearing it from somewhere, it's not a God voice.
Exactly.
Nor is it one you should be entertaining or submitting to. But it still is in dynamic tension with what we say we believe, mm-hmm. that God loves us. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems we have of being double-minded. James talks about that in his book. Why do we buy into this alternate narrative after God has already laid it out plain, that he's done this for us because he loves us? There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
The work is done. He loves us, and yet we are convinced that he doesn't.
I think because we want sometimes for things to be more difficult than they are.
Why would we want things to be more difficult?
Because we think we have to earn it. You know, the scripture tells us that it's freely given to us. This gift of grace, this gift of salvation is freely given. It was a huge price that was paid for it, for sure. But it's given to us freely. And without condemnation. And we don't trust that. That's a human condition. And I know that the enemy has perpetuated that lie throughout eons and eons. So we live with that embedded into our very being, our fiber in some ways. And I think when we start to dig in and root that out, it is painful. But when you get to the core of it, when you spend that time, when you do that work on your own, in yourself, in your heart, to get that lie out, then resting in the truth that you are free, that you are not condemned, and there is no guilt or shame heaped on you. Like you said, it's not the voices in your head speaking anymore. They have no voice.
We do have to give some credit to the doctor who was doing the surgery, though, here, too.
Absolutely.
We don't want this to be another thing about works. If we are the one thinking we've got to do our own heart surgery, we're getting it backwards. A wise person knows they're ill, goes to the person that can heal them, and submits to their mm-hmm. expertise and mm-hmm. their authority to do so, and trusts that they will actually do what they say they can do. Mm-hmm. You're not climbing on the operating table and cutting out a tumor in your own heart. You trust somebody to do it for you. That's the only way you can get it done. Mm-hmm. So if we are really truly asking God to excise the tumor in us, that tumor could be disbelief, that we're not really believing his word. Mm-hmm. If he says he loves us this much, we don't feel it yet. We're believing the feeling, and we're going to believe the feeling more than we believe his word. So we have to trust that he's able to change that. Mm-hmm. It is not my job to heal my heart. It's God's job. And if God's going to do the healing, we have to actually ask him to do it. And I think it has to do with allowing him to change our hearts. And this is back to the metaphor now. Allowing him to speak truth to us in such a way that he convinces our heart is true. Mm-hmm. We can't keep faking it or trying to make ourselves believe something that our heart really doesn't want to believe. Only God can truly transform us. So here we are back in that quandary, mm-hmm. that paradox. Where do you start? Chicken or egg here? You still got to go to God and say, I don't know what to do about this. And there's plenty of us that feel conflicted about how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about what we've done or not done in our lives. How we feel about what other people have said about us or to us over these years. And then God says something that doesn't seem to make any sense because it doesn't fit the narrative. Mm-hmm. And yet we say we want to love and worship God. Jesus practically has to shout in John 3:16 to Nicodemus. Do you get this? I love you.
Yeah.
God the Father loves you. Mm-hmm. And that is the point. And I'm going to hammer it home the rest of my life here on earth. I'm going to let people hammer it onto me to take your sin and your shame away from you. But it's not going to go away. This message in John 3:16 is eternal. Jesus said it. He lived it. He's still living it out. We had better heed it.
Yeah.
And if we can't heed it, go to him and ask him to help us to do it. What else is there to do? And who else are you actually going to see a heart change, but to the one who made that heart?
And the one that loves it the most.
And knows how you're built.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts, honey, on this pivotal section of the scripture and of the center part, really? This is where the gravity of John, the book, comes in. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves as Nicodemus, if we're really seeking this here, and asking God to show us what are the questions that I need to be asking and what are the answers God wants to answer.
Mm-hmm. I think up to this point, we can see that we're being affirmed in our questions. Mm-hmm. We're being affirmed in how Nicodemus approaches Jesus. And I believe that there was probably some fear and trepidation on mm-hmm. the part of Nicodemus in going to Jesus, because he knew that if he was found out, he could possibly be expelled from the synagogue. He went boldly by the cover of night, but he still had honest questions. And I'm so thankful for that, because it gives me permission to ask honest questions of Jesus.
And he makes some honest observations too. When he says to Jesus, "You're losing me here. I don't get this. What in the world are you talking about?" He says the things we feel mm-hmm. in this. He doesn't keep up the face of them. "Well, that's a very interesting thought, Jesus. Have you ever considered," when he's thinking in his mind, "this guy is stark raving mad, or I'm completely right. off my rocker. Someone's wrong here or doesn't get it."
Yeah.
He bares his soul mm-hmm. in a way in this conversation, and it's recorded for all history. This is the way to approach the living God mm-hmm. with honest questions, with an honest seeking heart, and willing to hear something and to chew on something you've never thought of before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He left with a lot of thoughts a lot of questions falling out of this conversation. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
We do too. And our questions of Jesus may not be quite the same ones that Nicodemus showed up with, but the answers God gives us will always be on target for where our heart really is, what the real question underlying all this is. And he will answer if we're willing to ask the question.
Mm-hmm. Just ask. Just be honest and bare your heart to God, because he's going to be tender with it. He's going to hold it.
That's our message to you, but I believe it's also Jesus' message in this section of John 3, 16 through 21. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us today on this program. We'll be back next Monday as we continue on with chapter 3 of the book of John in our dynamic gospel, Chasing the Word series. Thanks so much for joining us. There's no doubt that trying times bring out the best and the worst in mankind. I'm praying that God will bring out the very best of Him in you today. At CompassionRadio.com, you'll find more information about the projects we do, the places we go, and the ways you can get involved today. That's CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for standing with Compassion Radio in times like this. I think you know that we're a unique voice in Christian radio. Your generosity and your faith in us make it possible for us to continue doing what we do each and every day. Please call us today to let us know you're standing with us. For your gift of support this month, I'd love to send you a copy of our special edition of The Dynamic Gospel that we're highlighting in this series. It's a very fresh and motivational take on this beloved gospel. See this treasure book with new eyes. We're glad to offer it to you, and it's only available through Compassion Radio. Call us today at 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.